The Berkshire International Film Festival gets underway on Thursday and runs through Sunday in Great Barrington and Lenox, Massachusetts. On Saturday night, May 31st, they will present their special tribute event. This year, they honor multi-award-winning actor Brian Cox, featuring an intimate conversation between Brian and his wife, actress, director, and producer Nicole Ansari Cox at the Mahawi Performing Arts Center in Great Barrington at 7 p.m. A screening of The Escapist will follow. Brian Cox starred as Logan Roy in the hugely popular HBO series Succession, for which he won and or was nominated for a slew of awards, including the Golden Globe and Emmy. He's also known for his roles in Super Troopers, The Bourne Identity, Rushmore, Braveheart, and much more. He is the author of a stunning memoir, really one of my favorite memoirs, Putting the Rabbit in the Hat. And he just finished up a West End production of The Score, where he played Johann Sebastian Bach alongside his wife, playing Bach's wife, Anna. It's an absolute delight and honor to welcome Brian Cox to the roundtable. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Joe. I'm good. I'm a bit run off my feet. I got to go back to the UK this weekend after I do that, because I start rehearsing a play for the Edinburgh Festival. So I'm kind of I'm up against it.
When I was just over in England, and I missed by just a few days to see The Score. And I assume that was what I read about that. It just seemed like a beautiful, lovely production.
It was great. Hopefully we're going to try and do it again here. We're in slight negotiations now with Broadway to try and get it here. I would like to see it here because it's a brilliantly allegorical play. It's about his relationship with Frederick the Great, but it has so many resonances of what's happening in the Ukraine, what's happening in Gaza, and empire building, and oligarchs at work doing awful things, as Frederick the Great did, and Bach finally standing up to him and saying, there's a whole wonderful scene where Bach improvises this fugue on this thing, special offering theme that the king wrote, which reveals the king's true personality. So it's a really brilliant play at finding out where this, as he was an abused child, became this warmonger, So and Bach realizes that in the theme, it reveals what the king really was and the sensitivity of the king that was brutalized. And it's a great, great piece, and wonderful, written by a very old and very dear friend of mine, Oliver Cotton, who ironically gave me the title Putting the Rabbit in the Hat, because that actually comes from when Oliver and I were both with Albert Finney in the 70s doing Tamburlaine the Great. And Albert, it was at the time of when all kinds of strikes were going on. Rehearsals were delayed. We started in March and we opened in October with a big gap in the middle. And then we finally came back to rehearse, and Albert was saying, because it was very hard doing Tamburlaine, and Albert said, lads, it's just, it's just getting the rabbit out of the hat. That's what we do. It's magicians. We take the rabbit out of the hat. And then Oliver said, yeah, but Albert, the problem is, how do we get the rabbit into the hat? So that's why it's called Putting the Rabbit in the Hat.
I love the memoir because it is so honest, it's so refreshing, and it seems, I think people can surmise this just from the brief conversation that we've had so far, that you enjoy your time just as a working actor.
I very much do. That's what I've done. That's the way I've placed myself as a working actor. I mean, when we're young, we all have ambition, and I did very well. I made my stage debut at the age of 21, playing Orlando in the West End and As You Like It. You can't hope for better than that. And then, you have all these ups and downs of the profession, and it's a roller coaster, and you have to ride it. You have to ride the roller coaster. I mean, I'm about to be, oh God, I can't believe it, but I'm about to be 79. It's my birthday this weekend, which is coinciding with the whole thing, June 1. And, that's the way I've run my career. I've run it to that end, that I just keep doing stuff. I keep learning the job and doing the work as a working actor.
Obviously, you've been in many films that I mentioned that were very successful, many stage performances that were very successful. Did it even surprise you of what Succession became, though?
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird thing because we thought it was a damn good show. I mean, I knew it was going to be a hit on my first talk with Adam McKay and Jesse Armstrong when Jesse was in Italy, I was in London, and Adam was in LA, and we talked about, the offer came to do it, and I thought, this is big. I knew it was going to be big, and I knew because of Jesse's reputation it would be really, really big, and it was. It kind of went through the roof. I mean, it's still they still talk about it. It's probably one of the best television series ever, and I think that's down to wonderful crew, wonderful cast, wonderful directors. We have a great guy called Dat Mylod who directed, who's now running the Harry, doing Harry Potter. He's doing that, and he's running that in the UK. He's an English director, and he was very proud of his time that he really wanted to leave England and work in America, and now he's gone back to England to do that. So I think he's been hoisted by his own successful petard, quite frankly. No, it was a great bunch. I mean, really extraordinary bunch. And we were a family, and we had the family debates, we had the family discussions, shall we say, about
Sure.
technique of acting and what have you. And we have some people have one kind of view and some people have another kind of view. That's the way of the world.
And who ultimately makes the call on that? Is it the actor? Is it the director? Who then settles that score?
Well, it remains an open question rather than a settled score, and it's a belief system. It's a system that there's a sort of, I mean, it's very interesting. I go back to this. There's this wonderful story about Stella Adler, and when she and the group theatre, and when they became so amazingly kind of, became such huge Stanislavski fans, and they wanted to bring Stanislavski to America, and they wanted to do all kinds of stuff. I mean, his work, really. I mean, his tomes. He's an amazing writer, and he was an amazing teacher and an amazing director. And there was just this one sticking point, which was this thing called affirmative memory, or how the Americans called it, was emotional memory. And Stella had a problem with it. She wasn't so sure about it. She was one of the detractors, as it were. So she took herself off to the Bois de Boulogne because Stanislavski was always allowed to travel to Paris during the summer break. They give him permission, so he would be in Paris. So she wanted to settle this question, that was about. So she went to see him, and she said, "Maestro, I wanted to ask you about the question of we call it an emotional. You call it affective. Oh, I got rid of that years ago." She said, "What? Oh, I got rid of that years ago." She said, "No," and she said, "Well, why? Well, it interferes with the imagination." And that says it all. So it is a question of, what Strasberg did was really, I think Paul Newman is a very good example of Strasberg, the positive side, because Paul Newman was a most beautiful looking guy and turned out to be a fantastically good actor eventually. But he was very, very unsure of himself to start with. And it was Strasberg who gave him a sort of confidence to believe in himself a bit more.
Is there a point that you remember in your life, in your career, where you said, okay, I am confident that what I'm doing is good work?
Well, I was very lucky. I mean, I was very lucky in the people I worked with. I worked with a great guy when I started called Tom Fleming, who ran this extraordinary theatre, the Lyceum Theatre in Edinburgh, which was very adventurous, very avant-garde, doing plays of Mrozek. And the Edinburgh people weren't always ready for it, but he did the work, And then I went on to work with a great director called Michael Elliott, who ran the theatre in Manchester, the Royal Exchange in Manchester. And he was to me one of the genius directors of all time. He's Marianne Elliott's father. And a fantastic. I did all kinds of things with him. And I ended up by doing Moby Dick with him, playing Captain Ahab, which was the last thing that he did. And I thought he was going to kill me, but sadly, he ended up dying as a result of a kidney thing that he had. And he was only 53, but he was wonderful. And of course, the other great director for me was Lindsay Anderson. And Lindsay was an extraordinary director. And there's a film called In Celebration, which we did as a play with Alan Bates, wonderful actor called Jimmy Bolam, a great actor called Bill Owen and Connie Chapman. It was about a family coming back for a wedding anniversary, 40th wedding, and we played brothers. And that was a wonderful experience with Lindsay. He was a really, you know, extraordinary director. So those people set the standards for me. That was my that became my standard. And they were my standard bearers. And that's what I wanted to live up to. The taste and the intellectual rigor of those guys, you know, was considerable.
Brian Cox is our guest on the roundtable this morning. The Berkshire International Film Festival will be honoring Brian Cox on Saturday night. He'll be in conversation with his wife, Nicole Ansari Cox, and you can find out more information by going to bifma.org. They're going to be showing after the talk, they're going to be showing The Escapist. What do you remember of that experience?
Well, Escapist was a film that came to me from a wonderful young director called Rupert Wyatt. And I'd done a short for him in which he won a BAFTA for the short, which was a sort of projection of a bigger film that he wanted to do. And he got that and he won the prize. And I did it. I did it as a, you know, I did it because I wanted to encourage this young director who I really had respect for. I wasn't particularly interested in playing the role as a film. So I said, you know, I'm a supporter. And when I came to this country, when I came to America, you know, because I'd been a leading actor back in the UK, I said, I just wanted to act. I wasn't interested in being a star or a leading man. I was just wanted to be a good actor and do good roles. And also character roles, because I loved, you know, I was inspired by American character acting, people like William Demarest. I mean, extraordinary actors of the 50s and 40s. Mm. And they inspired me. So I said, I'm happy to be a supporting actor. You know, I was 50 when I came here. So I said, that's fine for me. I remember I had a big discussion with Nigel Hawthorne about that, because he had a tough time. You know, he was working with Sly Stallone and he kept saying, well, I'm a leading actor now. And I said, you're an actor, Nigel. You're just an actor. We're actors. You know, we can do that. We can do this. We do that. And he said, well, I can't. It's just too much. I said, listen, I'll swap you. I'll swap you Sly Stallone for Steven Seagal any day. Which I talk about in the book.
Yes, you do.
So you just do the work. And so I was very lucky in working with these amazing men who's really set the standard for me. And you know, and you fluctuate. You know, it's not all going to be wine and roses. Occasionally it's plodding. And then you get a gem like LIE. And what's important about The Escapist was it was a film that I produced as well, because I said, you know, occasionally I like to be center forward, you know, rather sure. than like, I'm happy being right back, but occasionally I'd like to be center forward. I'd like to do a film which, you know, that I'm the main guy, you know, simple as that. And he wrote The Escapist, and him and his writing partner wrote it. And he came to me and I looked at it and I said, right, I'm putting this script away. I'm locking it away. This is the version that we will do. Because every other schmuck is going to ask you to do, give his notes or their notes, and you're going to be taken on a journey that is going to be the usual nonsense that happens in the whole business of making movies. And I said, but this is the movie we're going to make. And apart from one or two changes, it was the movie we made. Mm. And I love it. That's why it's a very important movie to me. And I had a weird thing the other day, because I did a thing for... with Isaac Butler, who wrote this great book called The Method of How America Learned to Act. I don't know if you know that book. It's a brilliant book.
Yes.
It's a brilliant book. And Isaac, we were talking about it. And I said, I was talking about Tracy, who's probably my hero as an actor, Spencer Tracy. And I was showing a scene from Black Day at Bad Rock. And I said, there's this great scene between Robert Ryan and him in Bad Day Black Rock. And Tracy never looks at Ryan. He kind of glances up occasionally, but he's down here and he's doing, and Ryan is giving it his all, because again, Robert Ryan was one of the unsung heroes to me as a film actor. And I said, that's what I want to do. And I showed that to him. And then they showed a scene from The Escapist. And it was bizarre, because I was doing exactly what Tracy did in Bad Day to Black Rock. I couldn't believe it. I said, I'm doing the same thing. I had no idea that's what I did. It was bizarre, absolutely bizarre.
But those are things that you learn and you take from these performances, and that's
Absolutely.
the culmination, right?
Absolutely. And it's a great job. I love the job. I do love the job. It's a tough job, and there's a lot of we get a lot of people who don't make it along the way. It's people who have great promise. When I teach, I talk to the students about persistence. It's all about persistence. You just have to go on. You can't be knocked down. You can't be, and you can, because you can have some humiliating experiences which could put you off for life. But I've just said, just realize that's part of the job. Part of the job is dealing with the rough and the smooth, and when it's rough, it can be very, very rough. Just do it and you'll be fine. As long as you have the principle of good work at the center.
You and your wife will be in conversation at the Mehewi on Saturday night. I assume talking about many things, but including that good work.
Yeah, that's what she's. We are. It's very. I mean, my wife is just amazing. I mean, she's a great producer. She's got a great sensitivity. She's also a very extraordinarily fine actress. And we've come together in this sort of way that we didn't do this initially. We've sort of started to work together, and it's great. And also, she knows me, and she knows my faults as well. So I'm sure she's not going to give me an easy time on Saturday. I'm not expecting an easy time.
But you don't seem to be someone who would want that either. You would want to be challenged.
Oh, I always want to be challenged. Yeah, I do. I think that's the only way you progress. I mean, if you've got belief systems which can cloud you a bit, and that's why I've kind of got rid of a lot of my belief systems, But I do see the theater as the one true church. For me, it's the one true church because it's the church of humanity. It's not about belief systems, and not about being a Catholic, not by being an Islamic, not by being a Jew, not by it's about man and woman and their state and how they come to be what they are and how they're influenced by the climate of the time, and how do they survive that climate of the time influence. And that's what to me is, that's why to me it's the real church, because it's the church of humanity. How do we deal with this stuff?
And as you mentioned, when you are done with this event, you're going to be headed back to the UK and again going on stage. And are you at a point where you say, okay, these are the things I want to do, let's line them up?
Well, they are, but there's so many of them now that I'm getting overcrowded. I mean, like I had a problem just now when we were talking about it, because they want me to go straight to Dundee, which is ironically is my hometown, where we're going to be rehearsing this Make It Happen, this amazing play written by James Graham about the financial crisis of 2008, in which I play Adam Smith, who comes back to thinking, what the hell is going on? All my teaching is, and I this was my idea. I suggested it to James because I was so angry about how Thatcher used to misquote him all the time, Adam Smith. She would quote him towards a conservative end, could serve her own being, as it were. But he wasn't like that. He was much more, in many ways, egalitarian. He was part of the 18th century Enlightenment period. And everything was that when everything was challenged and brought up for debate. So that's why I like the idea, and James has done it brilliantly in the play, absolutely brilliantly.
Is there I'll end with this just because I'm curious, but is there a going back and forth from the United States to the UK, is there a place or a time where you feel more politically sated perhaps than you do at
Well,
another?
yeah, I mean, it's tough being here. It really is tough. The kind of idiocy that's going on, and no names, no pack drill, but I think you know what I'm talking about. I think everybody knows what I'm talking about. And that is really tough. And to see how we've got to that state, but there's so many factors. And I think basically it's the political systems that's at fault. Never mind individuals. I think the political system really is screwed. The Democrats have not been democratic, and the Republicans have been over Republican. It's as simple as that. And we need to sort it out. We need to get to a fair and equitable society, which it isn't at the moment. And especially with the tariffs that are coming about and all of that nonsense, and we've got it. And then you get John Voight talking absolute rubbish about, you know, Hollywood, you know, we've got to bring it back to Hollywood. Well, you know, there's not just Hollywood, there's Atlanta, there's all kinds of places where films are being made. You know, New York is making a huge slew of stuff. So it's not about Hollywood anymore. It is about America, but it's not about Hollywood. And also, they have to understand that the reason that they took the films abroad, they're still American productions, but they go there because they want what our president always talks about, the deal. And right. That's the better deal. They get better deals for their movies. And, you know, he'd be the first to want to pursue that. So he's talking nonsense when he talks about, you know, 100% tariffs on Hollywood films. He doesn't know what he's... Well, anyway, let's not go there.
The Berkshire International Film Festival gets underway May 29th, runs through June 1st on Saturday night. There will be a special tribute event this year honoring Brian Cox, featuring a conversation between Brian and his wife, Nicole, and a beautiful evening at the Mahawy Performing Arts Center in Great Barrington at 7 p.m. And you can find out more information by going to BIFMA.org, BIFMA.org. Brian Cox, what an absolute delight to speak to you. Congratulations on the tribute and the honor. And I so appreciate you being with us this morning.
No, no, no. And I want to apologize that I didn't make it the other day, but
You're
been
a busy
crazy.
Man.
I'm afraid. I am a busy man. Yeah. And I'm suffering as a result.
Well, put the rabbit back in the hat and you'll be able
to.
Yeah,
put the rabbit back. That's the only thing you've got. Just get that rabbit back in the hat.
Brian, a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe. Thank
be
you.
Be well.
Take care.
Bye-bye. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.